This podcast is brought to you by Payset, a culture catalyst. We are the set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that categorizes prosperity for all people. Our mission is to empower individuals to engage unity. You are now locked in to Tempo with Chris Thomas. We discuss everything self-development for the purpose of creating momentum in a person's life. Another installment of Pace Live, where we talk entrepreneurship, we talk about faith, we talk about personal development. Today, I wanted to talk a little about entrepreneurship in its entirety, to give the origin about it. And then I want to jump into 10 decisions I think that every entrepreneur should make, right? But I want to start with, and give me a thumbs up if you can hear this. I'm going to play it twice.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Can you hear that? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear that.
It's not today's price. He's certified.
So I played the clip about a little while ago, some years ago. Fat Joe said, yesterday's price is not today's price. Jamal, what up? Yesterday's price is not today's price. What did he mean by that, right? In other words, for any entrepreneur and for every entrepreneur, we have to understand that once what was once, right, required of us is now just normal. So now we have to go to another level, another standard of operation, and another standard of doing things. So with that being said, I want to get into the history of what an entrepreneur is and where it came from, right? I guess around the pandemic time, it became a buzzword. However, for some of us who've been at it for a long time, we understand the significance of it. And I want to talk about that tonight. The entrepreneur is a French word, right? It originated in the 16th century. And the word was given to people who were known to go out and gather or put together resources, right? What's up, cousin Tanya? Tanya, thank you for checking in. So entrepreneurship was realistically given to people who had the ability, who had the skill, who had the mindset, who can go out and gather resources. So in a nutshell, if we know anything about theater, William Shakespeare plays and things of that nature, these were people, and they called these people entrepreneurs. They will go out and they pitch an idea to people who had enough money that, you know, and they had promised them a return, and they say, yo, check this out. We got this play going on. Tiff, what up? We got this play going on, and, you know, we need your finances to execute the play. Now, all they had was the idea. They didn't have the resource, right? They had a vision. They had a plan. They had a strategy. That's all they had. So they had to go out and get the actors. They had to go out and find somebody who can write the play. They had to go out and find someone who had and put up the curtains and the drapes and everything. They had to go out and find someone who can uphold the venue for the people to come visit, right? So they do all these things. Meanwhile, they didn't have the resource, so they had to go out and search for it. Now, they had to guarantee to these people that they would receive ROI, return on investment, somehow in some way. So therefore, they had to sell tickets too. So now all of those layers was on the shoulders of these individuals, these men or women who went out and did that, and they called them entrepreneurs. It's a French word, 16th century. And that gives you the origin of it. Now, I like to always understand the origin of something, right? It is in us and for us to put a name to things, and whatever name that we call it, it has to operate and function according to what we name it, right? So now when we use this term so loosely in 2024 or in the 21st century, we're just throwing it around as if it's, you know, the next buzzword out there. But really, when we're saying this about individuals who are pursuing this on a daily basis, we're really saying these are individuals who, number one, I can trust. Number two, they are people of integrity. They are people of creativity, and they are people of sustainability. I think that's the most important thing. to be an entrepreneur is to understand the rules of engagement as it pertains to sustainability. So I gave you the history and a rundown of that. Now, as you know, I do not get on this microphone and just go for hours on time on end, but I am very conscious of time, so I won't be before you long today. However, I do want to give you these 10 decisions I think that every entrepreneur should understand. Number one, I want to give you this number one rule that we have to first understand this, is that your partner or your spouse, the person that you choose to be with, will be the biggest decision that you will possibly make. Why? Because this person has to allow you to go through this process of failure to failure just to get success, just to get to success, right? And every person that's walking this earth's surface is not built that way, right? So to be an entrepreneur, to be a person that has the ability to perpetuate or provoke sustainability, your spouse or your partner, the person that you choose to be with for the rest of your life, has to be okay with the valley, with the highs, with the lows. They have to be able to take this ride with you. So I would tell anybody, choose wisely, right? Choose the person who's able to withstand the winds. Choose the person who's able to withstand the highs, the lows. The highs are beautiful, but it comes with lows. Lows, understand that. Number two, entrepreneurship is a vehicle to wealth. It is not the only way to wealth, but it is a vehicle to wealth. Now, when I'm talking about wealth, I'm not talking about numbers, right? I'm talking about the habits. I'm talking about the productivity. That's my wife right there, y'all. She said, choose wisely. Put that in all caps. Write that again. So compound interest is what the entrepreneur focuses on. Why? Because compounding is when you earn interest, right, on a previous work or a previous interest setup that you have already created, okay? So what does that mean? You want to always be in a mode of investing, right? If I have $1,000, 700 of it, I'm investing. Why? Because I already know that 10% of that I have to give unto the empowerment of God's people. So then I need a little left over, so therefore I can be comfortable. But however, $700 have to dance for me. It has to do something and be productive on my behalf, right? So that goes back to our last conversation on Pace Law when we talked about resources. About 90% of your finances, God has said, look, that's for you. But I need you to be effective in the earth with that 90%. Okay. So now when we're thinking about this vehicle to wealth and we're talking about compound interest or interest in its entirety, Marshall, what's going on? We're talking about compounding, but we're looking at this from a perspective of 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. We're not talking about instant gratification. We're not talking about the here and now. We're talking about setting something up that can what? Last the test of time, right? Number three. Your income does not equal to net worth. I'm going to say it again. Your income does not equal to your net worth, right? So let's say you earn $1 million, right? And then you go somehow, some way, and you spend $990,000 of it, right? A person who makes $60,000, who's able to save $20,000 in that fiscal year, is better off than you, right? Because your income does not equate to your net worth. The only thing that equates to your net worth is productive assets. Something that has the ability to make more money. In other words, cash flow, right? Let's say, God forbid, something happens to you on your job and you can no longer work. What are you going to do? I remember I heard Dame Dash said this a couple years ago, and it stuck with me. He asked DJ Envy, he said, can you hire your son at this job? Can you hire your daughter at this job? When you choose not to work there any longer, can your son and daughter come in your spot and now work, earn the same income as you, the same salary? No. No. So we have to what? Have productive assets. Now, I don't know whatever, you know, your lane is, whatever it is that you choose to do. Boom. Figure it out. Map it out. Allow it to be productive for you. Okay? Number four. I advise everyone walking the earth's surface to start a business. Just what I said in a previous comment, can you give your job to your son and daughter? No. So why should they have to start over in life when you're saying you're working to provide them a better life? It doesn't make sense to me. You're working for you. You're going to have bills regardless if you have children or not. You're going to have things that you desire, you want to purchase and everything, regardless if you have children or not. So why should your child have to start over? I'm just looking in my own community and, you know, in my own people. We say we love, but who's willing to sacrifice? We say we love, but who's willing to supplement? We say we love, but who's willing to carry out what is needed for the next generation to thrive? Why should my son, or why should my family members, or why should my neighbors, or why should my community members have to always start over after high school, always start over after college, always start over when they get married? Why? Because we don't have an ecosystem. We don't have infrastructure in place that can support people in the terms of this. Let's say a person turns 18 years old, they graduate high school. We're putting on their shoulders, asking them what they want to do. How about we create the ecosystem that says, hey, you have these options that you can do X, Y, and Z. And before you get started, here's something to get you started. And here's some things that can get you going. It's simple for me. It's simple to me, but it's not simple to our culture. Okay. Now, thanks to technology, we're still on point four, start a business. Thanks to technology, you can start a business with nothing, right? My wife and I right now about to start another business. So I'm going to have some product that I want to show y'all, and I want to show y'all how to do it. I want to show y'all how to get involved in it. I want to show y'all how to be a part of it, not only and this is not one of those things like you're going to wake up tomorrow, you're going to have all this money. No, create cash flow. Create that ecosystem, Tiff, right? Provide opportunities. This is what we are to do as people across the whole earth's surface. Okay. Now, number five, there is no such thing, people, as a free lunch at all. Even if you think that you're getting a deal out of something, you're really not getting a deal. Why? Because you're using your time. That's your number one currency. Why? You're using your money, right? You're using your effort or your energy, right? You're using your focus. All those things are currency to me, right? So, and I'm going to give you this little thing that happened to me last week. Young guy said he needed some help, right? Helped him out. Gave him $50 for gas, right? Said, what's your cash app? Send him $50. He uses it for gas, but he used his card, so he left the pump still running. It came to $66. He texted me and said, could he get the $16 back from me because he made a mistake in pumping his gas? That's not help, people. He wants a free lunch. That's what he wants. He's used to. And I used to be on free lunch in school. I remember getting my yellow lunch card and going, I had to pay for no chocolate milk. I had to pay for no pizza, no spaghetti, nothing like that. Why? The free lunch card shows that you have instability, shows that you are suffering from lack, shows that you are in a poverty-stricken mentality, right? And his poverty-stricken mentality led him to believe I owed him the $16 after I gave him $50. As a help for gas, because he made a mistake. The burden of proof is on me. He wants a free lunch. And a free lunch has hurt people walking this earth's surface. Okay? Number six. And I heard this. My grandfather used to say this. Don't be a penny wise and a dollar foolish, right? And I say this to anybody that know me. Something can happen before me or something could be going on. And I always said this, see the full picture. Sometimes we only see what's in front of us, right? So for a lot of us, we only see the mortgage. We only see the rent bill. We only see the car payment. We only see the utility bills, right? But you're discounting that $10. You're discounting that $20, that $25 that you could have used to invest in yourself or to invest in something that can produce a result for you. Let me give you this little short story. So I began options trading about some months ago. It's been a little while. And for a short time, I was doing it every day, every other day, studying, researching, following companies, following businesses, following all these things. And what happened was I got tied up, right, with one of our businesses, and I just kind of fell off from it. So this last week, 2 weeks ago, I said, let me get back into it. Let me sit down. Let me analyze some data, see how things is moving in the market and everything. And I said, let me take something small just so I can get back into the flow to see what I can do, right? And it was with Energy Transfer. The ticker symbol is ET. It's the utility company. And I said, okay, let me do a call on it. And I want to do a long call. So I always do things 2 weeks out to give me time. If I want to, I might close it out in days. I might close it out the full 2 weeks, or I might do it after a week, right? And I closed it out and I came up 231%, right, on a return. But I took something small. It was $14. I made a $14 call and said, let me take this $14. And I was just doing it to get back into the flow so I can read my analyze and my charts, my analytics and my charts and everything, make sure I was on the right path because I'm jumping back into it. But it is those small things that sometimes we overlook. So don't be a penny wise and a dollar foolish, people. Use everything at your disposal to do what it is that you're trying to accomplish in life. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's about cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. That's it. Point number 7. Debt and expenses is robbing you of your future, right? So this means everything to me. And when I told my wife today, we were talking about something, and I said, the information changes everything for me. I said, once I realized the truth of something, once I understood the origin of entrepreneurship and the entrepreneur, it changes things for me, right? So let me give you this example. So I have a car, right? And I like my car. My car is pretty cool. I like my truck, right? And do I want another truck? Yes. Do I need another truck? No. Right? I don't want the car expense, right? So I'm going to clean my car. I'm going to take care of my car. I'm going to service my car until the wheels fall off. Though I can go out and get another vehicle, but I choose not to. Why? Because I see the full picture and I don't want expenses or I don't want debt to rob me of the opportunity to do something that can set myself and my family in a better place, right? I want to maximize on every opportunity I possibly can, right? I don't want to leave no stone uncovered. I don't want to leave no time to chance. I don't want to leave any of that because what I want to maximize my efforts for my future. Number 8, creating an ecosystem, creating cash flow, creating wealth is not sexy. It's not cute. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to feel good, right? We've gotten used to this digital age. We gotten used to seeing the trips, seeing the pictures and believing the hype, right? And what people never talk about or never show is the day-to-day. They never show when you're tired. They never show when you're fatigued. They never show when you're feeling down. They never show when you're really not sure of an outcome or a result that you're trying to accomplish, right? Because you're going to feel all those emotions in entrepreneurship. You're going to go through all of that on a consistent basis every day, day in and day out. Low, what up? What up? Just what up? So, and this is what people don't talk about. So therefore, the masses of people don't have a realistic expectation when it comes to entrepreneurship, because why? It's the buzzword. Everybody want to be an entrepreneur, but an entrepreneur has responsibilities. I always say this to people. I say, look, if you can't pay your personal bills, how are you going to pay your expenses or bills that you got going on with a business? Just ain't going to happen, right? So wealth isn't sexy. Entrepreneurship isn't cute, right? So don't fall for the trap, okay? So what we want to do to get to a place of comfortability, to get to a place of, I guess, being cute or being sexy, you want to invest in productive assets. You want to always, always remind yourself that it's bigger than you. You see the bigger picture. I don't want my son to have to start over when he's 18. I don't want my nieces and nephews to have to start over when they're 18. I don't want people I grew up with to always find themselves in a tight space. I don't want people that I come across to always find themselves looking for the free lunch, right? Because how can we be a community of people striving and doing the best that we can possibly do when we're operating and functioning out of less or less than? Okay. Number nine. Entrepreneurs do what, people? Solve problems. That's what entrepreneurship is. You're solving a problem. Something has transpired that may be out of your control. Something has happened that you may not have knowledge of previously, but now you can come to a place where you have solution. If you are not solution oriented, it's going to be a tough, tough time for you. It's going to be hard, right? And that's the essence of entrepreneurship. Remember I said at the beginning, the history, the origin of the word means the individual who goes out and seeks and finds resources in order to produce something, to produce return on investment, to produce the entertainment in the realm of theater, they produce the enjoyment, they produce the comfortability. You create the comfortability, you create what's convenient, right? Solve problems, solution oriented. That's right, Tiff. So to ask yourself a couple questions. Do you invest on a consistent basis? Now, when I'm talking about invest, it could be something small, it could be something big. But do you invest in yourself? Do you invest in what you hear? Do you invest in what you see? Do you invest in what you eat? Do you invest on where you go? Do you invest on the relationships and the people and the interactions that you're having on a consistent basis? Do you invest? Now, why? Because through these interactions, through these things that transpire, you find a solution to every problem. To every problem. Marshall said, I remember when you told us to always adapt and overcome. Always stuck with me. My man, my man, my man. Point number 10. How you spend $10 will be the same way you'll spend $1,000. No ifs, ands, buts about it. That's why I said at the beginning, if I have $1,000, I'm investing $700. If I have $10, I need to invest $7, right? I need to invest in what I'm hearing. I need to invest in what I'm seeing. I need to invest in what I'm eating. I need to invest in where I'm going. I need to do something different. I remember I was telling these young guys, they was on a corner and, you know, I'm looking at them. I see them day after day. I was on 3rd Street in Chester and I said, Mike, I said, come here real quick. Let me holler at you. And I had just went to Home Depot and got a toilet kit. And the toilet kit cost $14.97. I said, yo, check this out. I ain't trying to be in your pocket. Look like you're doing okay. You got some nice sneaks on, but your outfit's still a little dingy. It's a little dirty. So I can tell that you're not worrying about your appearance. You're just worrying about, you know, getting a little something. And I can always tell from an individual on how they spend money. Just size them up. Listen to the way they speak. Watch what they eat. Watch how they perceive or the perception of things, right? So I said, Mike, this toilet kit costs $14.97, right? You can go Knock on people's doors. Ask somebody, is your toilet leaking? Is the back of your toilet running? You can go and charge them $125 for something that you pay $15 for, and it's seven screws. Seven screws is going to get you $125. I said, the only goal from this point is to repeat this process over and over and over again. I said, at minimum, you just got to make $247, right? A day, 7 days a week. At minimum, that's all you got to do for you to be comfortable and for you to stop what you're doing. That's how simple it is. So when I'm talking about invest in productive assets, that toilet kit is a productive asset. You get what I mean? That toilet kit is a productive asset. Now, because you're looking at things differently now, because you know the origin of entrepreneurship, because you know the rules and the parameters and the rules of engagement of entrepreneurship, because you know how to spend $10 that you can spend $1,000, because you know how to solve problems, right? Now building wealth becomes easy because now you're focusing on your habits. You're focusing on your preparation. You're focusing on aligning your thoughts and your feelings together. You're focusing on your disposition, on how you show up every day. So now you can focus on your execution. There are strategic forms of care. I talked about that last time, right? Now you understand how to invest. And because you're investing in many ventures, as we talked about in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, you now can invest and save, then multiply. You understand? Then now you start to change your perception and not spend things on unnecessary things, though you can. That's having self-discipline. That's having self-restraint. Though you can go out, make big purchases. Though you can go out and do something bigger, you choose not to. Why? Because that's not in the solution right now. That's not in a frame. That's not in the picture frame right now. Right? I still use my 2011 MacBook. I just recently purchased some RAM so it can move faster. Why do I need to purchase another MacBook? I'm very effective with this MacBook in front of me right here. Emails, documents, banking, anything, options trading, anything, invoicing, anything, setting up contracts, anything. I got this laptop in 2011. Can I go out and purchase another laptop? Yes. Do I need a 2024, 2023, 2025 laptop? No. I'm the most productive with what it is that I have because I understand self-discipline. I understand self-restraint, though I can do it. Okay? Now, entrepreneurship, people, is what we are to do. Why? Because it frees your responsibility, frees you up from the responsibility of being task-oriented as far as working a 9-to-5, right? If you are in position to do more and to do better, why restrict yourself to one area, right? Last time I checked, and I love this scripture, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? Today, I'm in North Carolina. 2 years from now, I might be in Florida. Another 2 years from now, I might be in another place. I cannot be restricted to just one perception, to one perspective. Why? Because we have the whole world at our disposal. And I think that's what sometimes we miss. We get so caught up in our zip codes. We get so caught up, and not to say to disregard none of that, no, because you always can give back to where you came from, right? And to show others that the doors are wide open for them to do the same, right? But right, Tiff, we can't be restricted based upon where we came from. We can't be restricted based upon our socioeconomic status. We can't be restricted based upon what the perception of others and how they see us, right? Because the entrepreneur got to go out and get the resources. The entrepreneur got to solve problems. The entrepreneur Gotta see the full picture when no one else sees it, when no one else wants it. And the entrepreneur understands and knows that wealth is not sexy. Entrepreneurship is not cute. So they're willing if they got to crawl. They're willing to present themselves. They're willing to lay down their life. They're willing to do it as a reasonable service. And that's what I wanted everyone to get tonight and to understand. We here, Pace Live, 7 p.m. Tomorrow night, if any of you are available, we're having Bible study, right? Momentum Bible study in forum. And I love it because it gives people really a chance to speak openly and ask questions. And we have open dialogue and we discuss various topics as we touch tonight and everything. But the topic for Bible study tomorrow night is community, is what is our common unity, right? What is our common unity? So I do everything with a direction, right? From the podcast to Pace Live to Momentum Bible Study to Catalyst Capital, it's all with a direction. And as I swing in this direction, it's all going the same way. It's all going to the same point. And it is to what? For us to solve problems. It's for us to come to a common unity, to stand on a common ground and declare who we are in the earth for generations to come. So I want to thank y'all for sharing your time with me tonight. Same place, same time, 7 p.m. Wednesday night. I salute you. I love y'all. Peace. I want to thank you for stopping by today and listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you continually to stream it and also share with everyone that you know. And I want you to remember this: create momentum, then dictate tempo.